Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Life Conversations Radio Network is expanding to become a global media for spiritual growth and transformation, and we want your support. Help us take it to the next level. If you listen to 1 minute, 5 minutes, or weekly to Life Conversations Radio Network, you are renewed, restored, and rejuvenated with guests who will inspire you to love and honor you. By funding this project, you are investing in yourself and humanity. We even have wonderful rewards when you contribute. Go to pleasefund.com/pages/347 for more detail. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are one. It's time to share the message.
Ah, the sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Albert Einstein said, "No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We must see the world anew." When we apply this quote to our lives, we see that we cannot create abundance by staying in the consciousness of poverty, nor can we gain a sense of power in our lives while identifying with ourselves as a victim. And whether our intention is to change ourselves or some element of the world around us, we cannot simply wish for transformation or hope that our lives will be altered through circumstance. If our patterns of thought and behavior remain unchanged, our lives will continue to unfold much as they have previously. Making change, managing change, and mastering change is on the agenda of all who expect to remain relevant and relate to this new season in the universe and in time. Wayne Dyer puts it this way: when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old, and mysteries do unfold. 'Cause that's the way of time. Nothing and no one goes unchanged. There are not many things in life can be sure except rain comes from the clouds, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. Winter turns to spring. Wounded heart will heal, but never much too soon. Yes, everything.
You are or where you've been. The winds of change are blowing for you again. nothing changes, it just might be a good idea to let go. Let go or get dragged, something will change. From feeling terrified that you don't think you can handle it, feeling pain.
I'm being dragged.
The universe says,
let go. But no, I can't let go, I'm afraid.
The universe says, everything is changing as you speak. Yes, indeed. Bishop Carlton Pearson reminding us that everything changes, everything will change. It's just part of life. Sometimes life is going so well, everything just seems to be in order. Oh, you are just so grateful about how you master your mind, how you meditate 40 hours a day, and just life is just so beautiful. But that changes too. There might be some moments where you catch a wave, like, ooh, wait a minute. Maybe I do need to meditate for 48 hours a day now. But there's so much going on that you don't even have time to meditate for 1 minute. But it's all part of life. The insight, the awareness that we want you to catch is that no matter what is going on, call it good, call it bad, that you can just serve the currency of life, surf the wave of life. And each and every one of us is going through and growing through whatever we are going through and growing through right now. But wherever you are, know that all is well. All is wellness. All is goodness. Because right where you are, God is. But why doesn't it feel like God is not here? Well, be still and get a new definition of what God is. Forget what the books, the holy books, say. Get a good and real understanding of who and what God is for you. Because if it's just an intellectual thing, it doesn't mean a thing. No, I am not going to say. But why not? Let me just shine my light and go, oh, no, I won't. I resist. I'm holding on. They say what you resist, persist. But this time, I'm going to succeed at resisting. I am not singing. It don't mean no thing. Even that moment changed the patch. You can release it and let it go. Everything must change. Carlton Pearson. And check out his website, newdimension.us. Newdimensions.us. And, you know, he's a regular guest over here. he's a regular guest on Life Conversations Radio, and he'll be back soon. And he'll be back in Atlanta sometime in the next 2 weeks. Beautiful song. And with that, I say good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. Don't read and talk. You're good, but not that good. Don't read and talk. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you're alive. You make a difference because you're here, because everything you're thinking, everything you're feeling, is sending out a vibration into the ether. And you're creating, you're co-creating with the rest of us. The rest of us, there is no us, really. There's only one of us. But the us that I'm talking about is the us that are united in spirit, us. And all of us are united in spirit. Even if we know it, we deny it, we don't feel like it, we are all united in spirit. It's the law of the universe. And we're going to break that down some more and empower you to understand the sound. Okay, the sound of your mind. What is your mouth? Oh, God, what's really going on? I need to take a cup of tea. I got my tea here. Maybe I need to drink some. What does your mind sound like? How does your mind work? Are you in control of your mind? Or your mind in control of you? Don't answer that. It's a trick question. Wait till after the show, because you might catch a new insight. What do I mean, might? You will catch a new insight, because that's the intention. We're here to support you in transforming, in changing, and whatever you're going through and growing through, that you can trust the process of life, that you're so much more than what you see with your physical eyes. And we have the Beam Team. They're ready to shine some light on you, a light of transformation. It's going to burn up all the stuff that are not working for you and help you see the light that you are. Wow, I feel light. Yes, the Beam Team beamed on you. So you feel light. And when you recognize you're feeling light, you go, wow, I'm enlightened. Oh, wow, life is great. It is. So keep coming back every day to listen to the show. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at A Radio Show. And we are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. Both shows are archived. You can subscribe on iTunes so you can get regular downloads of the show. We have great shows, great guests, great callers, great listeners, great fun on Life Conversations Radio. There's no other radio station like this radio station. I'm not boasting. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's just that unique. So are you. So there is no other radio station like this radio station. That's right. I said it. And I'm here to represent it. And if you don't like it, take it to God, because that's what God told me. I am your crazy professor, nutty professor, life coach, Ade, and we're here to have fun. The Beam Team, Barbara Berger and Tim Ray, are here in the house. Mother-son duo. They're going to support you to awaken. And when you awaken, you can start creating harmonious relationships. So when stuff like this is saying, well, you know, relationship, no, I'm busting that mess. I'm awakened. I know the power of my mind. Oh, guess what? I understand the mental laws of the universe. So I am one with the one, and I release, I let go, I relax. It's almost time to bring them up. I know, Celeste. I was reading that earlier. I know. There's something about, Bishop Carlton has two websites. But somehow, maybe it's not happening on your browser, when I type the bishoppearson.com, it's not acting right. It's changing. But then there's New Dimensions, which, let's see. Bear with me, because we like to give the right information. No, not you. He doesn't look like that. We are one, but he doesn't look like that. Let's try this. Yeah, newdimensions.us. Oh, well. Something going on with both sides. But anyway, all is well. Google him. You'll find him. So, and get your copy. Get your own MP3 file and download it. You can listen to that. Content. So, I think, quick announcements. 347-426-3346. I'm ready to have this conversation. The science of the mind, the science of your mind. And I promise you, if you can just set the intention right now to hear differently, to suspend what you used to know for a minute, two, for an hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours, just for an instant, you will catch a new insight about yourself with this show today, and you will be healed. You will be made whole. That's what healing is, to be made whole, to recognize that you are not separated, that you're one with the universal power. Today you will be whole, and you will be transformed. Are you ready to be healed? Are you ready to transform? It's all about a shift in consciousness, a shift in consciousness. And you catch your wholeness. You become aware that I am so much more. Yes, so we're taking your calls, your questions, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We're also taking your questions, your comments, your thoughts on the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. No, Ask, yeah, it is, but Ask Life Coach at a fan page, life page, that page. Facebook probably change it again and call it something else. But until then, we'll just trust the process that everything changes. Ask Life Coach at a fan page, like page. And if you don't do Facebook, can't get on Facebook, or you don't want people at work to know you're on Facebook, or you don't want your family tracking what you've been doing, leaving breadcrumbs, digital breadcrumbs, you can send an email to us. Go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversations, to the ads, lifeconversationsmedia.com. Click on the Life Conversations Radio tab, and there's a drop menu that says Ask Life Coach Ade. Click that. There's an email. Fill it in. Do a little math test so we know you're real, and then we'll be happy to share your thoughts, your questions. It's better if you call in. And so we can get to it. So we're taking your calls, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears, whatever you're dealing with, your disagreement, your curiosity, your skepticism, whatever. Bring it. This is the House of Love. We'll dissolve it and remind you who you are. And I'm not doing it by myself. I've got the dynamic duo with me. So, you don't want to mess with me today. I got backup. I'm dangerous today. And, of course, around one, we have Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. I'll see you tomorrow around one. Oh, boy. Okay, stop cracking up. Oh, well, I always crack up. Because when I crack up, I crack open. And when I crack open, I get to recognize who and what I am. So crack up all you want. So you can tap into the truth of who you are. And speaking of truth, let me share a little bit about Barbara Berger and Tim Ray so we can jump into this conversation. We are going to cover the mental laws. We have 11. We're going to do 5 before Celestial Moment and 6 after. So you have to pay attention. No multitasking. Get your pen and paper or just voice activate your consciousness to hear and receive everything that you need today. But before I do that, I'm going to do this because it's important for us to know that we are one. So we're here to support one another.
Do you see your eyes when you look at me? Do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? Well, I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 We are one, 'cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one. When I'm judging you, I am judging me. When I'm praising you, I am praising me. I know now that we are one. When I'm fearing you, I'm afraid of me. When I see God in you, I see God in me. I know now that we are one. We are one. We are one. We are one. We are one, we are one, we are one. Well, there is no separation, 'cause we are one. Now do you see your eyes when you look at me? Now do you hear your voice when you hear me sing? I'm hoping that you know that we are one. 'Cause there is no separation, 'cause we are one.
I know that's right. And yes, I hear my voice when I hear you sing, Carly. But sometimes when I'm talking to you and I try and sing your song, my voice closed up on me. I was talking to Carly yesterday, and I was going to sing this song. I just heard it, and she answered. I was trying to sing. My voice was like, my throat said, don't you dare, don't you dare. I was trying to sing. But I hear my voice when I hear her sing, so I can relax. And that's Carly Jackson. You can find her on Facebook, and she's in the chat room right now, actually. So she's, what are you waiting for? Yes, I'm busting. I'm putting it out there. And she's on Facebook, Carly Jackson. And you can also find some of her songs on SoundCloud.com. Carly, CARLLIE, Jackson, JAXEN. Beautiful singer, beautiful voice, as you can tell, and a beautiful woman. She is just she's just full of love, reminding us that we are one. Welcome all of you in the chat room for Saggy. Silent listeners, disguised and scared. Screech is back in the house. Tiro, she has been spreading love dust on us. Celeste is in the house. Teresa is in the house. Tam Tam is in the house. Renee is in the house. Other people are in their house. Tim and Barbara are in their house. Let's get this party started and stop keeping people waiting. They're not waiting. I'm teaching them to learn the art of patience. Trust in the process. Yeah, well, trust the process and read the bio. Okay. All right. Come on. Let me run my own show. Get out my head. Okay, here we go. The short bio. As you know, Barbara's been here before. Tim's been here before. So we're bringing them together. Barbara Berger has been a seeker all her life, and all of her books are based on her life work, which has always been to try to find a way out of suffering. That's a true teacher, a true healer, a demonstrator of the law. Barbara's recent book, The Awakening Human Being, A Guide to the Power of the Mind, she co-wrote that with Tim, who is here in the house, is a practical spiritual handbook that offers a clear and simple explanation of the way the mind works, which is the key to living a happy life. Tim Ray, he's an American-Danish author. He has a long track record of working actively with people on important issues. he's the relationship guru, all kinds of relationships. You bring all that stuff to the table, I'm here to bust that myth. Tim's new book, 101 Relationship Myths, How to Stop Them Sabotaging Your Happiness, offers plenty of relationship myth busting. Now, if you missed the show, just go back in the archive. Celeste will tell me. Celeste, what I want you to do, I know you can pull it up. Celeste is like Google on legs. You can pull up a show that I did 2 years ago. I don't remember I did. You give me the date. Can you please pull up Barbara's show? Actually, put it in the chat room and also in the other way that you contact me. The last time Barbara was here, so I can give it to the listeners so they can listen to what it means to be an awakened human being and they, you know, to bust the myth of relationships. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, non-physical beings and physical beings, help me welcome my friend, my guest, myself, my brother, my sister, Barbara Berger and Tim Ray. Everybody's excited. They've been waiting patiently. The beam team are in the house. Don't beam me up yet, okay? You can beam me up after the show. Not right now.
The beam team is in the house.
The beam team is in the house.
Yeah, can you, I can feel up. The vibration rise.
We're here to beam you up.
Things are changing. Monica is in the house, too. Monica, a listener, she says, she's in the house. Don't leave me out. Of course, we are one. If
okay.
I call one person, I'm calling you, Monica.
Up for everyone. Join the party.
There is. Indeed. And you guys, for listeners who don't know, they're calling from Germany. And we got a clear line. And I'm so grateful. What, it's about 5? Is it 5 o'clock? No, 5:30, 6:30 over there now?
6:30.
You're ahead of us.
6:30 in the evening over here.
Yeah, we're in Denmark, Copenhagen, Denmark.
Ah,
we're
okay.
Good to be back on your show, Adi.
Oh, I'm so happy
to be back
you.
And talking to you. You know, since we last were on your show, first Barbara and then me, we have now nicknamed you the preacher coach because you combined your childhood with coaching.
The preacher coach.
Quite a powerful combination. The preacher coach. So it's good to be back.
Well, I like that. The good thing about it is I didn't grow up with this sort of Christian conditioning that makes me want to run from that. So I can take that. I just take all expression, the preacher code. Yes. But you don't have to out me on my own show now. I don't want people to know that. I'm the preacher coach. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
You got the vibe. You got the vibe. You can't run away from it.
I know that's right. I am that I am.
I am that I am.
I am that I am. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Now, let's do this. I've got beautiful people around me, so let's just say, not Germany, Denmark. That's okay. Even a preacher coach makes mistakes. It's okay. It's okay. Now, we want to talk about the science of the mind, but before we do that, and we're going to work magic. We're going to cover all the laws. We're going to cover it. I just know it. Now, this is what I want to do. I read a tiny little bit about both of you, but I want to ask you individually. You know this question, but I got to ask you because every day, every moment is new. Barbara Berger, who are you?
I am that I am.
I am that I am. Indeed, indeed. Tim, I'm going to ask you a different question because, you know, you're smart like that. Let's see. What kind of deep question can I ask you? Tim Ray, who are you?
I love that question. And the answer is, I am that I am. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's the same, but it's the same I am that I am that's talking out of three different mouths, right? You know? I am that I am talking out of Tim, and then talking out of Barb, and then talking out of Addie, and also the one that's listening. All the listeners are also I am that I am, right? So it's an
yes,
I am
indeed.
That I am party.
I am that I am is all thing, and we are one with the all thing. That is the no thing. That is everywhere evenly present. All right, go ahead and preach, why don't you? Okay, let's talk about these laws. Let's talk about the mental laws.
Okay,
now,
well,
so I'm going to go to Bob.
We should start by telling all of the dear people listening in that if they're interested in the mental laws that we're going to be talking about, this vitally important information, that you can download it for free on our website so you don't have to take notes, as you said in the beginning. We think this information is so powerful, so transformative, that we have posted it on our website. It doesn't cost anything. You can go in to Beam Team, www.beamteam.com. Click on the mental laws, and you can print everything that we're going to be talking about because this information can really transform your life.
It is right there. It's PDF. Download it onto your computer, onto your e-bookers, or what's the thing that's called? I have one. I got Kindle. So anyway. All right.
The mental laws are also the first section of the book, The Awakening Human Being, that just came out in the U.S. So you can either get it on the website for free or you can buy the book, The Awakening Human Being, and the mental laws are also in that book. But anyway, to talk about the mental laws, I think we need to backtrack and just say that why are Tim and I so obsessed with getting this information out? We've discovered that everyone, you, me, and everyone else, all the other I am that I am out there, we all want to live a happy life. We all want to experience the God force in us. We all want to experience divine love, eternal life. We all want to be healed. We all want to feel one with the divinity. We all want all that good stuff. So the real question is, what is preventing us from experiencing our true nature? What is preventing us from experiencing the divinity that we are?
Yeah.
And Tim and I, we have been studying this for very many years, and we have discovered that the key is understanding the way the mind works.
Yes.
We are, all of us, so identified with our stories and with our thinking, and we're so unconscious about the way our minds work that all of this mental stuff that we have going on in our heads is actually preventing us from having a direct experience of who we are. So that's what really understanding the mental laws is about, to teach what it is, what this mechanism is that's running all of our programs that we're not aware of.
Right.
So we
right.
try to do in this book and with the mental laws, what we've tried to do is to map out the mechanism of mind so that when you understand this, you are no longer a victim of forces that you don't understand. Right now, most people are victims of the way their minds work because they don't understand it. So there are these impersonal forces that are working in the universe and which are running all of us, which when we don't understand them, we're really in bondage to them. But at the moment mm-hmm. that we understand the mechanism, this is what self-empowerment is about, then we suddenly have a choice. Once we understand what's going on, once we understand the way the mind works, it's the key to freedom. So that's
yeah.
why these mental laws are, everyone who gets in contact with them, they say to me, they say, holy smoke, man, why didn't they teach us this in school? Why didn't we learn this from the beginning? So, and the other thing is, I think I'll let Tim talk about is the whole idea of law. We need to talk about
yeah.
that before we go into the
yeah.
law.
I think that's also important to just briefly explain what we mean by law before we go into the actual mental laws.
Yes, indeed.
We like to say that just as there on the physical plane there are physical laws, such as the law of gravity, in the same way on the mental plane or on the plane of consciousness, there are also mental laws. So if we just look at what do we mean by a natural physical law, let's take an example. For example, the law of gravity. We all know that there's such a thing now as the law of gravity, which means that, you know, if you or I or Barack Obama or anyone on the planet jumps off a 10-story building, well, because of the law of gravity, you'll fall down and you'll probably hurt yourself pretty bad. And
right.
so that's a law that is independent of whoever is doing it. Again, so one of the characteristics of a natural physical law is that it's impersonal. Again, it doesn't matter if it's me, you, Barbara, somebody in China, somebody in Denmark, somebody in the United States. If anybody jumps off a 10-story building, they'll fall down and hurt themselves, even if you don't know about it. So another characteristic of a natural law is that it's automatic. It
yeah.
works whether or not you are conscious of it. Another characteristic of a natural law is that it's unchanging. It doesn't matter whether it's night or day, if it's winter or summer, if it's 100 years ago, if it's today or 100 years from now, there will always be this law of gravity. It's unchanging. Another characteristic is that it's everywhere present. Which means, again, it doesn't matter if you're in China, Denmark, Greece, on the moon, there is this law of gravity. It's everywhere present. And lastly, another important characteristic is that it's unbreakable. You cannot break it. You can't. It doesn't matter how much you beg or plead. It doesn't matter how much you pray. The law cannot be broken. So these are the characteristics of natural laws, such as natural physical laws like the law of gravity. And the mental laws, the laws that we will now describe for you, have the exact same characteristics. They are automatic. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you understand or are aware of this law or not. It's still operating in your life. They're impersonal. They're unchanging. They're everywhere present. And they cannot be broken. They're always going on, whether you're aware of it or not. So that's important. Mm-hmm. That's what we mean when we say a physical law. So with that, understand.
And that's what
understand.
We want to say, a mental law.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we have discovered that the laws of mind, the laws that govern the way our minds work, they are exactly like this. They're also impersonal, automatic, always in operation, whether or not we're aware of them or not. So that's the reason why when people hear these mental laws, they get that aha experience. They think, oh, now suddenly so much that we didn't understand actually makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, maybe we should look at the laws?
Yeah, let's jump right into it. And the first one, which I really just love, the law of thoughts arising.
Well, the other thing that we say in the books and that we say when we teach this when we travel around the world, we always say to people, don't believe what we're saying. Test what we're going to say for yourself. Because it's very important to have the experience that for yourself what we're talking about. So the very first mental law is what I call the law of thoughts arising. This law says that thoughts arise and they disappear. And then I suggest to listeners or readers or whoever is interested in this that you try this experiment. If you sit down in a chair and you face a white wall, a wall that's completely blank, there's no pictures on it, nothing, just a white wall, and you sit there and you stare into the white wall and you say to yourself, I'm not going to think. Okay, if you do that, you probably can, some people, especially people who are good at meditating, you might be able to do this for 10 or 15 seconds. But then a thought will arise. Oh, I forgot to buy milk in the supermarket. Oh, my boyfriend said that to me last night. Oh, I've got a headache. I mean, if you try to say to yourself, I'm going to stare at a white wall and I'm not going to think, you will quickly find out that it's impossible. Mm-hmm. You will find out that thoughts arise. So it's this is the first impersonal mechanism that we need to understand when we study the nature of mind and consciousness. We are this field of consciousness, and within this, thoughts arise, and then they disappear. And you sit there and you stare at the white wall, and the thought came up, oh, I forgot to buy milk at the supermarket, and then it disappears again. And then the next thought comes, oh, my boyfriend, he said this and that yesterday, and then it disappears again. So this is, you find out that you're not doing it, actually. It's really interesting. It's really, I mean, this is actually why meditation is such a fantastic tool. Meditation is the tool that allows us to sit down and get quiet enough so that we can actually observe the nature of consciousness, the nature of the phenomena of mind. Mm. And that's the first thing you find out when you try to meditate. Thoughts arise.
Right.
And you can't get them to shut up. They come and they go and they come and they go. So that's
and
the
that's
first
a good
thing
point that you linked it with meditation, because there are people saying, well, I can't meditate. I try to meditate because every time I sit down to meditate, I just keep thinking. But they think they're supposed
no, that's
to just
what,
have any thoughts.
It's good that you bring that up, because that's one of the basic misunderstandings that so many people have about meditation. They think that, oh, if I sit down and meditate, I'm not going to think. I'm not supposed to think. But the thing is, it's quite the opposite. When you sit down to meditate, you become aware of this mechanism. The thoughts arise and they disappear. Meditation is about observing this phenomenon. Meditation is about not attaching to the stories that arise. It's about many things. But first of all, it's about noticing that thoughts arise and disappear again.
Yeah.
So it's really important to understand if you're new to meditation that the thought that you're not going to think, you can forget that.
You're setting yourself
not
up to fall.
Exactly.
I want to ask you this before we move on to the next law. You know, because what do you say to the statement, you are what you think, or you've heard the man think, so is it?
Mm-hmm.
So if thoughts arise and disappear, and thought is sometimes I can go as far as saying thought is thinking us, but thought is doing what thought does, how do you explain the statement, you are what you think?
Well, I think we should wait with that, Eddie, because that's actually the fourth law. We're going to go into that in detail. So it's the most important question, of course, you're asking
right
now. But you got to just be a little patient, man, okay?
As a sage, sages,
okay.
Go through the sage.
But also, I think if we go on
let's take the
second law, this actually gives part of the answer to your question, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
the second law, the second mental law is called the law of witnessing. And this law states that there is a difference between you and your thoughts. In other words, thoughts are something that you have, but it's not something that you are. So if we just for a moment go back to the sitting in your chair staring, looking into the blank white wall for a moment, and you notice a thought arises and a thought disappears again. And you're thinking about, okay, what am I going to have for dinner this evening? And then that thought is gone, and then you wait, and another thought comes, and you think about, okay, the conversation you had at work today, and then that thought is gone. So you can see the thoughts arise and disappear, but the one who's actually observing and noticing that the thoughts arise and disappear, who or what is that?
Mm-hmm.
You are actually still there, right? So you are actually, you exist prior to a thought arising, you exist while a thought is there, and you also exist after a thought has disappeared again. Right? Because a thought cannot actually experience itself. Right? The thought of what you're going to have for dinner tonight, you cannot experience itself. Something else has to actually observe it and notice it.
Mm-hmm.
And the very, very exciting, important question, of course, is, well, what is that? Who or what is the you, the I, that is observing the thoughts coming and going? And
right.
One way of answering that is actually what we said before. It's the I am that I am presence, right? This presence, or you can call it consciousness that you are, the I am that I am. What does actually, what's meant by the statement I am that I am, right? So I am means to exist, to be. I am. But I am that I am, what does that mean? Usually when we say I am, we attach it to something, right? I am a man, I am a woman, I am this body, I am my work position, I am this job. So we attach it to something out there, some outer experience or some thought or some emotion, some idea. But I am that I am is just I am what? I am that I am, pure being, pure existence, pure presence, which is consciousness. Because not only are you, but you're also aware that you are.
Mm-hmm.
So
we could also say that another way of looking at what Tim is really saying is that the difference between context, which is, you could say, the field of awareness, the observer, the witness, and that the thoughts arising within this field, that's the content. The content is as Tim was saying, I'm a man, I'm a woman, what did I have for dinner? All of this is thoughts arising, stories arising, content within the field of awareness.
Another way that you can notice the difference between content and context is that you could say that content is basically everything you can observe that is changing.
Yeah.
Your thoughts are changing, your emotions are changing, the physical body is changing, the weather is changing, you know, the political landscape is changing. Everything in the outside world, the impermanent phenomena is actually changing. That's content. But then that which is not changing, the silent, observing presence and consciousness, is context.
Right. You know, that when you talk about consciousness and the witness, I think for all of us really, but people who are on their spiritual path and trying to figure out their life and things that are happening, the exercise that you give them of just sitting there and asking, who is the one watching? You know, the one that's saying, okay, I have pain. Oh, I've got to, who is the one observing? Where's that thought? To really experience oneself as awareness, as consciousness. I know for me, that's transformed me, and it helps me to not get caught up sometimes in my mind, because my mind's like, poof.
Well, I think it's important to distinguish between when you say, who am I? Like, I'm Barbara Berger in this body, sitting here in Copenhagen talking to Ed on the phone. I mean, that's still, we're talking about the personality, again, impermanent phenomena that most of us identify with. But we're really talking about the field of awareness, which is the impersonal, non-changing, always present, all-powerful, the God force, whatever words, we have no words for it, but we can focus our attention on that. That's our freedom as human beings. That's what spiritual practice is about, to learn to shift our focus from the little me, you could say, the small self to the big self, from the individual with all our, you know, coming and going problems and all our ups and downs to the great universal presence, which is actually what we are in our true essence, which is also why it's so blissful when we connect with that, because that's the all-powerful, unchanging field of divine love that we're all searching for, and it happens to be what we are to begin with. But because we're so caught up in our identity with the little me, we miss the good stuff.
We miss it. Because what you're saying is spiritual practice is what connects us, the conscious mind, to that essence, that consciousness, that field of awareness that we are. So in that space, we can really understand when we say we're spiritual, we're eternal, we were never born and we will never die. And when we can remember, when we can just become aware of the essence of who we really are, it changes. I know for me, it changes how I see life. It changes how I move through life. It changes when I'm changes how I deal with a disagreement. You know, now I can catch myself in the midst of a disagreement, and then suddenly I'm hearing myself in this disagreement. It's like, whoa, okay, so what's really being triggered? And it helps me to just pull myself back and evaluate what's going on for me. It's so free. I so get it. Right. You want to go on to the next one?
Well, I think that this is why meditation is such a powerful tool and such an important spiritual practice, because, again, like we always say to everybody, it's not enough to hear these ideas. It's not enough to read about them in somebody's book. You have to have the experience yourself, and that's what meditation does for us. If you sit on your butt for 20, 30 minutes every day, and watch what's going on in your consciousness, you will start to see these things. And that's why we always say to people, don't believe what we sit on the chair and try this stuff out and see if you can see and feel and experience the difference between the small self and the big self. See if you can see the thoughts arising. See if you can notice the difference between who or what is having this experience. I mean, it is, so, as you say, it's like when you do it, when it actually clicks for you, that there is this transformative shift going on in your life, in your consciousness, and this will affect every interaction, everything else that's going on in your life. It's so powerful.
Right. It is. It is. You want to move on to that next floor?
The next law we call the law of naming.
Important.
The world.
Yes.
Again, if we go back to what we were talking about, this is also what quantum physics is saying also, too, that there is this one field, and we are it. I mean, there's no you, there's no me, there's no tables, there's no chairs. There's just this field of energy, which is all of it. And so on this earth plane existence that we've all sort of popped into, the way that we kind of maneuver is that we, with our thoughts, we name this field.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we say, you know, this is a chair, and this is a tree, and this is a car, and this is my computer. I mean, and of course we have to do this for convenience. So naming is like, that's the name of the game to be on planet Earth. You've got to name this experience. And I know, for example, I have a grandson, and when he started to learn to talk, it was just so fascinating. Until I really wonder about this. And when he was really small, he, like, bumped into things, you know. And then he started to learn that this is a chair, and Mommy said this is a table, and this is – and then – and then he started to distinguish by this naming between stuff. And then I noticed that he started to call himself the boy. He didn't have the concept that I'm this. But he I was thinking, oh, he's like, he was still in this universal consciousness. We were teaching him to name the field. So that's also very important to notice, that I mean, we usually say to people, have you ever had the experience like you wake up in the morning and you can't remember who you are or where you are or what you are? I mean, have you ever had,
yes.
I mean, most of us, we've had that sort of, you know, blank. Yeah, and then you sort of you look and you see, oh, I'm in bed and I'm sleeping with this person. Oh, that's my mate. And, gee, it's 7 o'clock in the morning and I got to get up and brush my teeth and take a shower. And
right.
The whole, as the thoughts come in, you name the world and then the world arises. But in that moment of blankness, no thought, no name, no world.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about that. When we fall asleep at night, right then.
You know, we stop having thoughts arising and disappearing, and then the world disappears too. Right? There's just this blank, you know, this field. So
now
so
I want to ask you about
people really love to sleep, right? Get a little break from the
me too.
But now I'd like to say, but where it starts to get tricky is okay. So we need to name the world.
Before you go
we need to be
that,
able
Robert,
to figure out how to go
Robert.
Out and make a cup of coffee in the morning and all that stuff.
Robert, can
but
you hear me?
When we get
Hello. Before you go on to the next one, I really want to know, because I've always wondered, because I do have those moments where there are times I wake up, and as I'm waking up, I have no clue where I'm at. What you said, no time. I mean, it's just this blank slate. What is that about? What's going on in the mind? I've always been curious, actually. You're the first one I think, well, that we've had this conversation on the radio.
Nothing is going on. That's exactly what you're experiencing.
That's right.
Nothing is going on.
That,
I mean, you are experiencing pure consciousness without thought arising for a moment. That's great, Eddie. And most people have spent their whole life meditating trying to reach that state, and you've got it naturally.
Okay, so don't look for something. Nothing. I have to get the phone to look at the time. There are times the alarm goes off and I'm coming out of this space and I'm thinking, what is that sound? Oh, that's an alarm. Why is it going off? I mean, it's like time. Everything just slows down.
Yeah.
Nothing
good
is going on.
Yeah. Good
okay.
So next time it happens again, try to notice more what's going on, because that's what's happening in your mind. It has slowed down enough so you are actually having the experience of pure consciousness without naming for a moment.
Yes, I am enlightened.
So anyway,
you need to listen to this show regularly. Go ahead.
To finish up this naming business, so... That all of this is fine and innocent enough, and we, as I was saying, we need to be able to make a cup of coffee in the morning and do our little things or whatever, but then we start to create stories. We go from naming the field to telling stories about how things should be, what we like and what we don't like, and the more we do that, the more complicated our stories get in relationship to the field itself. The more likely it is we'll get in trouble. Because as our whole teaching is based on that suffering arises when there's a big disparity, when your thoughts and stories don't match the field of reality, which is altogether good, then you experience suffering. So when we say he shouldn't be like that, she shouldn't be like this, things should be different, when we resist, when we have all those stories, that's when the naming starts to get tricky.
And the naming is quite powerful, because in the naming we use that to give meaning to life, or sometimes to who we are, what we are not. And sometimes how we name an experience, a circumstance, is based on our conditioning. What would you suggest to people who are going through an experience, you talk about suffering, where they're saying, this shouldn't be happening to me, I should be doing this, I should have more, I should know better. What would you say to someone going through that moment, or that is really a moment of naming, you know, really declaring something that's not in alignment with reality and is causing them suffering? How can they, what simple technique can they do to break themselves from
that the answer to that question is actually comes in the next law, the law of cause and effect. We need to explain that first. So let's do that first, and then we'll be able to answer your question so our listeners can understand it. So
let's do the law number four, which is called the law of cause and effect. And mm-hmm. this law states that thought is cause and experience is effect. So as we have seen, you have a thought, that thought arises, and when you believe this thought or attach to this thought, focus on this thought, then you get to experience the effect of it. So mm-hmm. whenever you have a thought and you believe in a thought, it affects your emotional state, it affects your physical body, your physiology, it affects the way you speak, the way you act, it affects your relationships with other people. In short, your whole life gets very powerfully influenced by the thought that you are believing in the moment.
And you could also say that this is the answer to your question, too, in the way that mm-hmm. you name the field, in other words, the experience that is arising before you, I'm getting divorced, right? And then you name this experience, this is a terrible experience. Mm-hmm. Then you, because thought is the causative factor here, is causing your experience of this divorce, then you'll have a terrible experience because you say it's terrible, so you'll get depressed, you'll feel lonely. Whereas if you name the divorce in another way, you say, wow, liberation, now I'm free from, you know, and I can do what I want, then you'll experience the same exact field of experience or whatever you want to call it. By naming it, you actually actualize, you bring this experience out of the field to you. So mm-hmm. it's really important to notice how you name.
Absolutely. It's also important to understand that it doesn't matter whether the thought has anything to do with reality or not. When you believe and attach to it, whether consciously or unconsciously, you get to experience it. So, for example, let's say, for example, you have a thought of danger, right? And it may be that the reality is that there is actually a tiger about to attack you on the path, right? And then, in that case, that thought may be close to reality, and then maybe, you know, your body's then going to go into the whole fight or flight reaction. You know, your pulse starts racing, and you start sweating, your heart is beating, and you get ready for either fighting or going into flight. And
mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
what's also important to note is that even if there isn't a tiger in reality about to attack you, and you have the thought of danger, you know, maybe just, you know, you're going to give a speech somewhere and say, oh, this is terrible, I won't be able to manage, it's just dangerous, your body still reacts to it in the exact same way. Again, it triggers the fight or flight response. You know, you get ready for fight or flight, your heart starts beating, and you get warm, you get sweaty, maybe you have your peripheral vision starts narrowing, everything gets ready for this. But the reality is, you know, maybe just standing in the supermarket, you know, buying milk and thinking about the speech you're going to give tomorrow when you're having what's
mm-hmm.
commonly known as a panic attack.
Because that's how you name the field.
So that's how you name the field. So it's really important to know, and that goes back to what we talked about earlier, that these laws are automatic and impersonal and unbreakable. It doesn't matter whether the thought has anything to do with reality or not. If you are believing it, you get to experience it.
Indeed. And when you name it, you experience it.
The other thing is, too, is most of us, because we are unconscious of this mechanism, because we haven't slowed it down enough to see what's going on,
mm-hmm.
we mistake this danger or this inherent value with something out there. We don't see, because it's happening so fast, we don't see that the interpretation is our thinking. And therefore, we feel that we're victimized by outside effects, events, outside circumstances, or whatever's happening out there, we don't see that it's actually our story about the field, the way we name it, that is the cause of our experience. So that's why it's so liberating to actually start to understand this, because it gives you the ability to go in and question your story.
It's also mm-hmm. important to say that this mechanism, I mean, once you understand it, you can start to use it for your benefit so that you're not victim of thoughts that are really far away from reality, but you can use it, for example, to start noticing the beautiful reality that is around you right now. And, for example, a commonly known consciousness exercise such as gratitude, you know, being grateful for all the good that is in your life, what happens to you when you do that, when you start noticing, wow, you know, there's sunshine and there's rain and there's the beautiful planet Earth and I have friends and family and there's, you know, ground under my feet and I got food in the refrigerator and so many possibilities for growth and fun. Immediately, you know, your whole system reacts to that too. You know, so once we understand this mechanism, we can start using it for our advantage instead of when we don't understand it, something that can so easily sabotage our happiness and our way of ways of, you know, trying to deal constructively with what's going on in our lives.
Indeed. We become through thoughts, we become the first cause, and then we experience the effect, even though we might want to put in somebody else. So we have that creative power to name and choose how we name our circumstances. We're going to take a break. We're coming back. We have a caller, Chad. Chad's got a great question. And when we come back, we're going to go to Chad. And then after Chad's question, we're going to do, let's do a moment, and then we're going to continue the laws. We're trying to squeeze it all in this month, August.
Okay.
We are focusing on reclaiming your power. We're supporting you to reclaim your power. And when you understand how your mind works, oh, my God, yes, you start making miracles. You start creating heaven on earth. Because you can. There is a power within you that transcends definition. It's your responsibility to connect with that power. And then you can just move through life with a smile on your face. And people say, what are you smiling about? I'm smiling at life. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. My guests are Barbara Berger and Tim Ray, mother, son, duo, and their website address is beamteam.com, beamteam.com. Lots of information in there on their website. You can download. You just go there. Just play, and you will be transformed. We're taking your calls, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And it's actually probably better if you call in rather than posting on the Ask Life Coach at a page, because we want to cover all these laws. We want to set you free. We want to ignite the power of God within you. I'm telling you, folks. You know I'm the preacher life coach, so you know I'm running with that now. What do you mean running with it? You keep doing it. Let's take a quick break. A very quick break, and we'll be right back to take the call from Chad, and then Celestial Moment, and then we'll continue the law. What are you listening to? Tell them, Jack.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Life Conversations Radio Network is expanding to become a global media for spiritual growth and transformation, and we want your support. Help us take it to the next level. If you listen to 1 minute, 5 minutes, or weekly to Life Conversations Radio Network, you are renewed, restored, and rejuvenated with guests who will inspire you to love and honor you. By funding this project, you are investing in yourself and humanity. We even have wonderful rewards when you contribute. Go to pleasefund.com/pages/347 for more detail. That's pleasefund.com/pages/347. We are one. It's time to share the message.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Yes, yes, yes. In the chat room, we have comments like, change is tough. Yes, mental law should be taught in the school. And we know a lot of in theory, but it's time to press the apply button. I know that's right. It's time to press the apply button. And we're going to push the button. Push the button to talk to Chad. We have Barbara and Tim waiting. Who's Tam? I don't know who Tam is, but I know Chad is waiting, calling from New York. Hey, Chad, you have a question. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Wonderful.
Great. Well, coming from, I just happened to catch your show, reading your description, talking about the science of the mind and the conscience, inner light, inner man, growing in spirituality. Considering all that kind of slammed together, I was just curious, coming from me, who's a born-again Christian, where do you guys believe all of this comes from? Does it come from our own kind of a free change of conscience or like a kind of the idea that we can sort of control our own destiny and our own mind? I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that. Where does it come from? Where do you think the source is?
Great question. Barbara, team?
Yeah, hello.
Yep, go ahead.
Thank you for the question. I'd like to just say that the field of the universal field of consciousness awareness. I mean, we have different words or different names for this field, which I've been calling divine love, all powerful, all present. But that's God. I mean, so my answer to your question is that's my definition of God, and so it's all coming from God, and we're God's children. So, I mean. Now we live in Scandinavia, which is a very materialistic society, very rational society, and probably the most non-religious societies in the world. That's the Scandinavian. So we have learned to present our ideas without really using the word God very much, because a lot of people take offense, or they don't listen, or they don't want to hear about it. But I would say to our dear listener that God is the source of all this, and we're God's children.
Well, can I ask you another question? It comes from God, you know, but your God. What if my God is different from yours? I mean, what God are you talking about? Are you talking about a God that you believe in that doesn't involve the Bible? You know, because my God comes solely from the Bible. He is the God mentioned in the Old and New Testament. So, you know, is that the same God that you're referring to?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, again, we have different ways of defining this all loving, all powerful force, and the Bible is. I mean, there are different religions, different traditions, different ways of exploring these ideas, and the Bible is, of course, one of our most powerful teachings on the planet. I mean, that's what Jesus is all about, as far as I understand.
No doubt.
Yeah, you don't say so.
But
is my Jesus,
God?
I mean, he. Sorry.
Go ahead,
Chad.
Our phones are
I was just saying that for example, I mean, if you read the Bible, I mean, one of the main teachings of Jesus was that whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. So he was like the master of the law of cause and effect. He was talking about a lot.
And he said, according to your faith, it shall be done unto you.
Exactly.
So all of these teachings sometimes we say to people that we're trying to express a lot of these basic truths in modern language so people can maybe understand it better. That a lot of people, they say, you know, there's a Bible that they don't understand. I mean, they don't know how to interpret it. But some of the basic teachings, like according to your faith, it shall be done unto you. I mean, that's what we're talking about, the law of cause and effect that Jesus was teaching.
And you would also say that we talked about earlier that, you know, what you focus your attention on, that's what you get to experience, because thought is cause and experience is effect. And we gave some examples of, you know, gratitude or the fight or flight mechanism. But really, what's the most powerful thing that you can focus your attention on? Well, that's obviously God, right? Which is all powerful.
Yeah,
sure, he's all powerful.
Right? So,
right.
So gratitude is great and meditation is great, but the most powerful one of all is thinking about God, you know, focusing on God, talking with God, which is what prayer is about.
Right, but can I ask you what, let me ask you this.
Real quick, because we've got a lot to cover, but go ahead, real quick, Jazz.
Okay. Right, but is the Muslim God the same as my God?
Well, let me say this, because I really want to answer you. I want you to get the question. I also let Barbara and Tim respond. But see, the problem that happens with humanity is the minute we say my, there's a division right there. The minute we say my God. Now, clearly, from what you're saying, from what I hear, from what I feel from you, you have a personal relationship in what you call my God. Now, for me, I don't say my God. For me, I say there's one God. So when you say the Muslim God, for me, there is no Muslim God and a Christian God and a Buddhist God. There is just God.
One God.
Now,
right.
How we interpret that. It's like here in the Western world, in America, we can say, oh, there's four seasons. There's the winter, there's the fall, there's spring, there's summer. But you go to another country, they don't have winter. They don't know what snow means. But does that mean that something's wrong with their weather? But see, the minute we say, my God, we make it very personal. We need to understand what we're saying. We're talking about something that's personal to my personal experience with what I know as God. So for me, the Muslim God, the Christian God, the Buddhist God, this is going to blow your mind. Even the person who say they don't believe in God, I am not tripping because I know God is all things. God is love. And why should I even trip about them believing in God or not? Because ultimately, we know that there is this God, whatever name you want to call it, spirit, soul. And it happens when people have an accident. You can have somebody had an accident, they lose so much blood, and they can have somebody they've never met in their life, don't know, can give them blood and they survive. Because there's something far more behind the words. There is a spirit. There is something that transcends definition. So for me, yes, the Muslim God, the Christian God, is just one God. It's just the Muslim and the Christian that interpret it through their culture, their society, and their tradition. And then it becomes my God. But as human beings, we need to drop the my and see God. And when we drop the my and see God, oh, my God, this planet will be transformed.
Okay, but what if my God, though, contradicts somebody else's God? Now, let me give you an example, okay? Now,
well,
Jesus.
Let's say this, because we got quite a few laws that we want to cover. And
okay, we can talk about this another time. Can I come back on the show?
No,
we can discuss.
Oh, certainly. I want you to come back on Thursday.
Wonderful.
Make a date with me on the show. But I want you to reflect on this. When you say, what if my God contradicts somebody else? The minute you say my, clearly there's contradiction right there. Because you've made it so personal that it's so different.
Jesus made it personal. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but through me.
Jesus also said, the Lord's Prayer starts out with our Father. Our Father, all of us. It's not my Father, it's our Father.
The whole world
the
will bow down.
Sisterhood of man. Our Father which art in heaven.
Yeah, it's not right. So, hey, I'll let you guys go. Thank you so much for taking my call. Even though we don't agree, I'd love to come back on the show and discuss it further.
Trust me, we welcome everybody coming Thursday. I'm going solo, and I appreciate you. Even stand up for what you believe, but I also want to leave you with this. That there is something about, even what you say, my God, there is something about God that you don't know yet. And I'm saying that for me. There's something about God, because intellectually we can't, just consider that there's something that you don't know, and you don't know that you don't know. And on Thursday, if you want to join me, I'd be happy to have the conversation, not to debate, but to share. And when you call in, we may not agree, but ultimately what I know, that there is one power, one presence. That presence is called God. All right?
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, guys, and certainly have a wonderful rest of the summer. Take care.
You're very welcome, my brother. Thank you very much.
Bless you.
Yes, indeed. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show, where everyone is welcomed. Yes, I love it. I love it. Let's run this through Celestial Moment, and I'm just going to relax. I'm going to name it. I'm going to call it GERD. I picked a thought. I'm just going to name this moment good and trust the process that will cover what we need to cover, and whatever happens, happens. And it's always good to have conversations like that. So, Celeste, I trust you are ready. Let me see. Yeah, you look like you're ready. Let's see. What do I need to do here? Push that tab. Push this tab and that tab. And let me go to Celeste right over here. Hello, Celeste. How are you doing?
I love that all-seeing eye of yours. Yes, I'm ready. And hello, Tim and Barbara. Welcome home. We are enjoying
hello.
You. There's good so much going on in the chat room. But look, I want these laws, too, and I want to keep the conversation going. So I'm giving you all a big mwah, mwah, mwah. And I'm going to get right to it, because you've been all up in my celestial moment. Wait till you catch the connection. I'm so excited. Hey, Life Coach today. Looking forward to the dance on Thursday.
I know.
Moving on.
I know. It's the last
it's
conversation,
gonna be a dance.
Isn't it?
It's going to be a dance. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you celestial moments. I come bearing a number gift. And trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. It's Tuesday, August 28th, 2012. Add the date and you get 2048. Add 2048 and the energy of the day equals 14. The 14th letter of the alphabet is N, and words like neutral, natural, and nimble actually connect us to the magical power of the number 14. 14 also shows up as the dog in medicine cards, and its gifts are loyalty and unconditional love. The dog reminds us to stay true to ourselves. 14 expresses as the temperance card in tarot. Temperance is astrologically connected to Sagittarius. This fire sign brings added fuel to creation when we show up as the alchemist. We become masters, turning lead into gold, when we embrace the duality of oneness. Neither calling our life good or bad, we learn to simply observe the story showing up. We dance the dance of acceptance and allowing. We don't waste energy resisting. We ebb and flow. Now, today, for a special treat, we are going to look at 14 from the perspective of the Sacred Circle Tarot, a Celtic pagan journey by Anna Franklin. In my card, 14 emerges as the underworld, and that's where we're going to put the spotlight. The underworld, in psychological terms, is where our inner hidden self resides. It's the subconscious mind and the home of our self-created monsters. We are asked to welcome the path of initiation by coming face-to-face with our fears, blockages, and barriers that impede spiritual and personal progress. So when you go down into the cave of yourself, are you meeting friends or foes? Have you embraced the reality that it's all you? Your answer to this question will take you on a journey. Your mind is already mixing up a powerful brew with or without you. Be sure to feed it a steady diet of nutritious ingredients designed to bring forth the best in you. Feed your faith and starve your fears with meditation and prayer to light your path. See your good times and your challenges as rich spices supporting your attention to growing your perspective. The underworld asks, how might I use these tools for my growth and edification? Not what's the best way to run from them. Break the bondage of your subconscious motivations if they are leading you astray. Free your mind. All is well. And that's the story of 14 through the underworld of the Sacred Circle Tarot. I'll see you around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Celeste. I'm just smiling here listening to this celestial moment. I appreciate you. Life is good. It's getting better. God is in the stillness. God is the word, not the words that we speak, the creative power. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. The Word is the creative power that transcends label. It's that power and presence that we're connected to. And we're talking about the science of the mind with Barbara and team, and the beamteam.com, spiritual teachers and authors. And we're dancing together, 347-426-3346.
And it's good to have a conversation and see things. But really, we really need to understand that there's things you don't know, and you don't even know that you don't know. And it's okay to hold on to what you do know. If what you believe is working for you, keep doing what you're doing. And that's not just for Chad. I'm not just talking to Chad. I'm talking to everybody. Those of us that are in the spiritual community don't always agree on things. And just because we say we're spiritual don't mean we agree. But it's about whatever you believe. Whatever you believe, if it's working for you, keep doing it. But be careful when you make God and life so personal. My life is not working. There is no my life. No, you are life. There's one life, one presence, one power. It is God. It is spirit. It is divine intelligence. It's Jesus. It's Allah. It's Buddha. You call it. Just words. But because we know that, we're going to get our mind right and go back to Tim and Barbara so we can get our minds right and keep enjoying the goodness of God that is expressing in all and everything. Hey, family, welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to be back.
I don't know if there's anything bubbling up for you that you want to share before we go on to the next one.
I think that what we were talking about during the break is that now that we've sort of discuss some of the basic laws, the basic mechanism about that thought is cause and what we believe in we get to experience. We thought maybe it would be a good idea to look at, so what does this mean for our lives and how can we use this information?
Yes.
So we'd like to actually talk a bit about if we understand these basic mental laws. And again, let me say to our new listeners, if you're interested in the mental laws, you can go into our website, www.beamteam.com, BEAMTEAM.com, and you can download all the mental laws for free there. So you can have all this information. But we were thinking, Tim and I, that we would really like to say to the listeners, okay, so when you start to understand this mechanism, what are you going to do? How can you use this information to improve your lives? So can we talk about that a bit?
I like that approach because I'm trying to figure out how we can cover the laws and still do that and we get calls coming in. So I trust your guidance. Let's go with it.
Okay. Well, basically what we have found out is that once you start to understand this mechanism, that your experience is based on your beliefs, your interpretations, your stories, your thoughts. That's what you get. In other words, according to your faith, it shall be done unto you. If you are having problems in your lives and your life is not really working for you, Tim and I, we have discovered that there are two basic ways you can deal with your own thinking. And so that's what we'd really like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have divided we have sort of over the years developed a comprehensive toolbox of exercises and techniques that one can use to actually use this understanding to one's benefit. So the types of tools that we work with, we have divided them into two main groups. The one type of tools we call focus tools, and the other type of tools we call investigation tools. The focus tools, as the name implies, has to do with consciously using your focus, the power of your focus, to focus on reality, for example, you know, on beautiful, good reality all around you. And one type of focus tool, like I said before, could be gratitude, you know, focusing, naming, you know, all the good in your life that you are so grateful for. And as we know, just the mere act of doing that, you know, you can write it down, or you can think about it, the different areas of your life. You know, what am I grateful for in my relationships? What am I grateful for with my job? What am I grateful for in terms of my body, in terms of the country that I live in? Is that then that will grow in your experience. I mean, you feel a lot better, a lot richer. And as you do that, It will actually, again, what you focus your attention on grows, it will engender more of a feeling of richness, and then more will come up. And so it's a really, really powerful focus tool exercise.
You could say that it is actually law number six. We call it the law of focus. What you focus your attention on grows, and actually you could actually say that really spiritual practice is about learning that you
are the master when it comes to your focus. Instead of being towed around by everything that pops up, you know, on your screen, that you decide that I'm going to, as much as possible, be aware of what I'm focusing my attention on and ask yourself, is this really what I want to experience? And if it's not, to learn that you actually can change your focus. We also have a law, which we call the Great Law of Substitution, which is really based on this understanding that when you start to see that, you know, that maybe you're focusing too much on negative stuff, maybe you're focusing on, you know, all the things that you don't want to happen, well, change your focus and see what happens. You can start to actually experiment in your life with this law and with this mechanism and with this principle, and you can you will quickly discover that you can totally turn your life around. I mean, you can decide. You can wake up in the morning and you can decide, I'm going to spend the whole day focusing on everything that can possibly go wrong, and see how that day works out. And then you can wake up the next day and say, I'm going to spend this whole day focusing on everything that can go right in my life, and see how that day works out for you. So you can very quickly test this mechanism, and it's like learning to play with it. It's like, wow, I can do that. You know, I can actually change my focus. I'm the master here. I'm not the victim.
Another very, very powerful focus tool is prayer, you know. What is prayer? Prayer is basically focusing your attention on the divine, on God or reality or whatever word you want to use for this, you know, everywhere present, all-powerful presence that is life, that is you, that is everything. And focusing on, and in the book, our book, The Awakening Human Being, we have suggested ways of prayer or meditation or contemplation where you can focus on not just on God, but what is God? What is the nature of God? And focusing on, you know, love or life or truth or intelligence or wisdom, these various aspects of the divine. And that, of course, is also a very, very powerful practice.
Right. Gratitude and prayer, indeed. And then,
gratitude,
you know, in recognizing
prayer,
that, you can actually
focus tool.
Right, and your gratitude can actually become your prayer, you know, when you look back and you say, I'm so grateful even that, you know.
And your prayer to become gratitude, right?
That's right. Your prayer becomes your gratitude. Your gratitude, it becomes one, and your vibration is shifted. Actually, it's a good point to bring up.
The thing is also when you do these tools is that initially it may be that you set aside a certain amount of time every day, say 15 or 20 minutes, and you're going to do this. But the thing that happens when you do it every day, regularly, is that you'll notice that it starts spilling over into every area of your life, so that you know, the prayer of gratitude or the gratitude prayer becomes more and more your experience and your focus throughout your day, you know. Your mental atmosphere. So when you're sitting in the car queue, or when you're at work, or when you're at the bus stop, or when you're doing the dishes, you know, it begins to run over, spill over and suffuse your every activity.
Yes. Actually, let me bring in a caller here, because I think when you're talking about focus tool, I think what you're talking about would really help Eddie. Eddie has a question about ego and balancing the law. Hello, Eddie. How are you doing?
Hello. Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Oh, so it's not Eddie. Is it Eddie or
it's
Edie?
It's Edie.
Ed, I'm sorry, because you don't sound like an Eddie.
That's okay.
If you're an Eddie, I think I'll get your money back.
Yes, they did wrong.
Hey, sorry. I apologize for messing up your name. Okay, what's your question?
Oh, that's okay. Well, I'm wondering, because, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading and everything. I've been focusing on this it almost seems like forever. Even when I was a child, didn't know what I was looking for. But in the midst of all this and listening about the laws and everything, I notice my ego quite a bit, and I'm wondering, how do I tame my ego with these laws? You know, how I agree with you, the focus, and I was I'm loving this whole focus. How do you? There's got to be some sort of discipline there and stuff like that. I'll get going, and I'll be praying, and I'll be in the mood, and everything's going well, and then all of a sudden I stop, and then it's done. You know, I don't continue on. I lose that discipline. I don't continue on. I don't finish reading that book. But then on top of it, I have that ego nagging at me saying, well, it's questioning everything. And, you know, I don't want to completely get rid of the ego, you know, and you can't. But how do you tame it? How do you keep it under control?
Okay.
How do you change your focus?
Okay, Barbara's getting ready to answer.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, well, I think first of all, we need to understand what we mean by ego. As far as I'm concerned, when we talk about ego, we mean your personality, which is really basically a collection of your underlying beliefs, your stories, your ideas, your convictions, whatever it is that you believe the nature of life is. So this is actually the perfect question because it really leads us to the other kind of tool that we suggest, and this will hopefully help answer your question, dear listener. The other type of tool that we really suggest people start to work with is what we call investigation tools. So if we go back to the laws that we looked at originally, we found out that thoughts arise and that we name this field that we're in, this quantum field of energy, we name it. And then we start to tell stories about what's going on. And we have our interpretations,
right,
our beliefs, and so on. We get programmed from childhood. We learn, you know, to believe in this and not to believe in that, and this is good and this is bad. And, I mean, again, we're all programmed quite innocently because it's important to understand that consciousness is completely innocent. It picks up whatever it is exposed to.
Right.
So we get all these beliefs from our school, from our parents, and again, they're also completely innocent too. They're trying to teach us according to what they believe is best. So,
right,
so we have all of this stuff, which is, we're not aware of it actually, but that's really what the ego or the personality is. It's the collection of all of this stuff. And so, fine, it's okay if you're living a happy life, great. I mean, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But
right,
if you are having difficulties, if your life is not unfolding, that's when it's time to start looking at your basic beliefs, your uninvestigated stories, your stressful thinking, and, again, we have a lot of great tools in our toolbox. I'll let Tim explain one of them that we highly recommend.
One of the investigation tools that we work with a lot is the work of Byron Katie. It's not a tool that we have invented, but it's a fantastic woman in America. Her name is Byron Katie, and her tool is called The Work. And it's a very simple but very, very powerful transforming technique that consists of, first of all, identifying whatever thought or belief right now is causing you stress or unhappiness, and then questioning this belief with four simple questions. And the four questions are, the first question is it true? Is this thought or belief true? Does it have anything to do with reality? And if your answer to that is yes, well, then the second question is, well, can you absolutely know that it's true? You know, if you have to stake your life on it, can you absolutely
right,
know it's true? And then it becomes a little bit more tricky. And probably most people say, well, I can't absolutely know that it's true. You know, I don't know. The third question is then, well, how do you react when you believe this thought? And that's the cause and effect question. How do you react? What happens to you when you believe this thought? Even if this thought doesn't have anything to do with reality. And then you notice how it affects your behavior, your speech, your relationships, your physical body, your emotional life, your whole life, how it, and if it is a thought that's far away from reality, how it really can wreak a lot of havoc in your life. And then the fourth question, a very, very fascinating question is, well, who would you be without the thought? Well, who would you be if you could not believe this thought? And that's a really, really powerful question, because then that opens up a whole new way of being and relating to your life. You know, who would I be without this stressful thought, this limiting thought? And the answer very often when people really go into it, because this is really deep meditation, is, you know, I hope you feel so much more at peace, so much more loving and kind towards myself and others. And it opens up
new, much more constructive ways of dealing with whatever is happening in your life right now. So I really warmly recommend this. This is a really powerful tool that, that Barbara and I use a lot, also with the clients, when we have clients in our practice, you know, identifying and questioning your thoughts. And this
that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it's also in the book, The Awakened Human Being, we also describe.
Okay.
So in answer to your question, too, it would be that, in other words, try to well, if you look at the book and we explain how to do this, but try to identify what stressful thought or story is making you unhappy in terms of what you just said before to us.
Because when you say ego, I mean, what you actually mean by ego, I assume that what you mean is some beliefs. It's saying something, right? You know, this is not right, this is not good enough, I'm not good enough,
exactly.
There's something wrong with
exactly.
me. Right? It has tons of stars, it just jabbers on and on.
And I just want to look at it and say, shut up for a minute, please. I want to think.
But that's easier said than done, right? You know, saying, shut up, we've been trying that our whole lives, and doesn't work very well. But identifying and questioning them in this way, it's really, really powerful because you sort of freeze the thoughts and hold it right there. Okay, this thought that I'm not good enough, you know, is it true that I'm not good enough?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, maybe you'll think, I think so. Then you ask, well, can I absolutely know that it's true that I'm not good enough? Well, no, actually, I can't. You know, are you good enough to be speaking on the phone right now? Yes. Are you good enough to breathe? Yes. Are you good enough to exist? Yes. So, no, you can't absolutely know it's true that you're not good enough. Well, how do I react when I believe the thought that I'm not good enough? Well, my whole life goes down the drain, right? Insecure, feeling ashamed, feeling inept around other people. It's a really, really painful thought. And who would I be without the thought that I'm not good enough? Well, wow, you know, I'd be that happy child that I once was, you know, running around and you know, being free and creative and feeling at ease and comfortable under my own skin and together with other people. And then finally, the end of the four questions is, as far as you turn the original thought around to its exact opposite. So the opposite of I'm not good enough is, well, I am good enough. And then you try to find some examples of being good enough, right? And that could be, I'm good enough to exist. I'm God's child, right? You know, I'm here now, I exist, I breathe, I can read, I can write, I can talk. I mean, the list can go on and on and on and on.
We're kind of stopping and brainstorming each of those things that I'm questioning, kind of.
Exactly. You're questioning
in a way.
The thought. But you have to do it one thought at a time and slow down. Now I did it rather quick, but it's really powerful if you really sit with it, you know, so that it comes from a really deep place within you, from consciousness. Because what's asking the questions? The thoughts are ego. But what is it that's actually asking the questions and answering? Well, that's actually consciousness, right? Because a thought cannot question and investigate itself. Only consciousness can question and investigate itself. So it's coming. These questions may seem as if they're very mental, but actually they're not. They're the opposite of mental. They're de-thinking and unlearning everything that we have thought and learned throughout our lives.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Edie, I strongly recommend, you know, like when you buy a car, they say, we strongly recommend, you don't have to, but I strongly recommend that you go to Barbara and Tim's website and go through there under Barbara's name. Have you downloaded the book yet, The Mental Law?
Not yet. I haven't gotten to play around because I've been listening to you. But as soon as you mentioned it, I went over there to check it out.
Good. And also, check out Byron Katie's website, what Tim is talking about. I mean, those four powerful questions will change your life. It will change your relationship with your ego. You might even wake up one day and say, where's my ego? Come on, let's go. We're going out to play rather than say, stay away. Come on, ego, I can't hear you today. But no, I can't handle you. You have too much questions. Byron Katie's website is thework.com. That's thework.com. She does beautiful work, simple questions to remind you who you are. All right, my sister, thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. Have a great day.
I'd also like to just add one more thing to this whole discussion that Tim was saying, and that is actually, if you really, to go back to what you said to begin with, that we're all, you know, the one mind, we're all powerful, all love,
all of this, that's our true nature. So if you really think about that, that our true nature is like the radiance of the sun, that's what we are to begin with. So what is it that is preventing us from experiencing the divinity of our own nature? And it is actually all of these stressful thoughts. Well, that's what we're talking about now. This
right.
mind chatter, all of these beliefs, all of these interpretations, all of these convictions, they are like the clouds that are blocking the radiance of the sun. So by learning to investigate the way the mind works, by learning to investigate our stories, we can sort of dissolve some of these clouds. And then it's not like we have to create this radiance. We're already it, but we just don't experience it because we're so identified with our stressful stories.
Right.
So this technique that Tim was just talking about, if you clean up your thinking a bit, then the natural radiance of your being will shine forth automatically. You don't have to do anything. It's already there.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. So now
yes.
you are set free. You're born again, and you can fly.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you,
Edie.
Thank you so much.
I
appreciate you.
Before we go on, Tim and Barbara, I just want to tell you, I am so enjoying this conversation. I mean, I feel like the sun is shining inside of me, and I'm just smiling over here. Thank you.
Yeah,
so anyway,
isn't it fun to be talking about this stuff? I mean, is there anything more exciting, right?
I can't think of anything else. That's why I do it.
No, me neither.
Oh, wow. I don't even know. I don't even have a question for you. I mean, I'm just really enjoying it. I'm a listener, hosting. I mean, I'm just, if there's, you know, anything else you guys want to share before we release the show, I don't have any questions. That my mind is just, oh, we got somebody else got a question? Oh, okay.
Well,
we're going to screen them first and then we'll come back.
Okay,
well,
let me just share a very simple technique to build on what Tim just said. So if we go with the premise that our true nature is divine love, our true nature is the happiness that we seek, we're already that. So I would say to the listeners or to you or to anyone who's interested in working with this, ask yourself this powerful question: what is preventing you from being happy right now?
Yes. Yes.
And then whatever comes up, write it down on a piece of paper. I should have more money in the bank. I should weigh 10 pounds less. I should, whatever comes up, what is preventing you from being happy right now? Then you have a good start on the stressful thoughts that are blocking the radiance of your own divinity from shining through. And then do exactly what Tim said. I said, take it from there.
Write it down. It's a very, very powerful exercise. And, you know, my body, my body right now. And
before you go.
Exactly. And what's happening in the world. So I'm single. I don't have a partner. And the world situation, whatever it is. And then investigate it.
What is preventing me from being happy?
Yeah, because if you take away the stories and when we focus on this now moment, and we don't compare to anything, because every comparison is also a story. So what's wrong with this moment? What's wrong with now? What are we lacking? We're just, you know, we're here flying. It's great. I mean, what's wrong with this moment? And it's mostly that we're so attached to our stories, that we're so occupied with the future or with what happened in the past, that we actually aren't even present in this moment. So we miss
it.
We miss
Yes.
The radiance of our own being is right now. So it's so simple that we don't get it.
And it's crazy. We get attached to the story, like as if you don't understand. But really, the story was simply an interpretation of what happened. Something happened, and we interpret it to be something else. And then we attach to the interpretation as if that's the truth. It's like, you just don't understand. Well, we got somebody else talking about. Sorry, Barbara. We got a listener. So real quick, is that Joshua? I'm sure if I'm pronouncing that name right. We got a call from New York. We got a question about ego. So make it real quick because we're getting ready to release the show. So correct me, is it Joshua?
Yes, it's Joshua. And it's in regards
Okay, are you on a speakerphone? Can you come closer to us, please, so that we can quickly answer your question and because we've got a few minutes to release the show.
Can you hear me
now? Okay, we're a little bit better. Go ahead.
a little bit better. Okay, I was I have been doing this investigating questions for quite some time, and I didn't realize I was doing it. But when I started it, it was like the questions themselves had layers, and I had to break down the layers. For an example, I came from Alabama. The history that I learned from Alabama in regards to my ancestors is about slavery. So I start asking questions like, who was I before I was a slave? And then I went on this process of learning who my ancestors were, and that, you know. And then it got to a point where I start learning, I start asking myself, well, God says that I'm the likeness and image of that source. So what does that look like? Who is that? And what does it look like? And what does it mean? And, I mean, it just went on and on, and it's still going on and on and on. I mean, it's a never-ending story. But I'm taking it.
It sounds like an exciting adventure. I think I know what you're talking about. It's going on and on, right? You can reach ever deeper and deeper layers of realization, and it's really, really interesting. I mean, I've been doing in my way, I think, a lot of the same exploration that you've been doing, you know, going back and, you know, looking at my parents and then looking at my grandparents and then looking at the Second World War and what was before the Second World War, and just to sort of, and it's interesting because you come back to deeper and deeper layers actually of just humanity, you know, that I'm just, you know, this sea of humanity. This is like this because that is like that. But then there's also, as you say, on an even deeper level, there's who am I beyond the, you know, the personality and the story and the things that I have been programmed with, and this, then you come to, as you say, this radiance of being, this existence. So
congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Sounds like you're on quite a ride.
It's deliciously good.
We
hear
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you
Thanks
so
for
much
that,
for that conversation. We're almost getting through the show. And Tim, Barbara, last comment, anything you're feeling to share with our listeners before we release the show? Oh, but I just got to tell you now, thank you. I love you both, and thank you for the gift. I can't even put it in words. I just feel so full and so grateful for this conversation and the work that you're doing. But any last words that you want to share, anything you want to share with the listeners?
Thanks. Well, I feel really grateful, too. I mean, I just love that we can share in this way, you know, this amazing journey and this thing called life.
And I would like to say, actually, that this information has transformed my life, has set me free in ways that I didn't imagine were possible. And therefore, I know, considering how fucked up I've been, that if I can do it, you can do it. And so I'd really like to say to anyone who's listening to us that really check this stuff out, because if you're in any way suffering, this information can help you get control of your life. This is self-empowerment. That's what we all want. We all want to be free. We all want to do what we've come to do it. So this is like, I mean, the reason that Tim and I are so passionate about it is because we're talking about self-empowerment. This is liberation. I mean, wow, it just doesn't get better than that. And to know that you can do it. Nobody else can do it for you. Nobody else can take it from you. It's up to you. And that's the good news. Thank you so much for letting us share this wonderful message, Eddie. I'm really grateful to
you.
Yeah,
very grateful. It's been great fun once again. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. You know that you're home and you're always welcome back. And, we're connected.
Well, if you
anyway,
invite us, we'll come.
That's right.
There's so many ways that one can, once you have this basic understanding, there's so many different, more specific areas you can apply it to. Yeah, you know, like when I was on your show last, you know, my last book, which is called 101 Relationship Myths, How to Stop Them from Sabotaging Your Happiness, is my attempt to use these tools to explore how can we apply them to have happier relationships or happier lives, even when we're single. So, but you can also apply them to many other areas, such as, you know, work and parents and children and money and health and so on and so forth. So really, really fascinating discomfort process.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I look forward
thank
to
you.
Our next conversation, our next sharing, our next soul food. Thank you, Tim and Barbara.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bless you, Addy.
God bless you. Thank you. Oh, I love my life. I am so grateful, grateful for the listeners, those of you who are in the chat room, on the phone lines, those of you that called in. Edie, Yashua, Chad, thank you, thank you, thank you. Tim and Barbara, make sure you check out Tim and Barbara's website. Lots of resources there. We have everything we need. Tim and Barbara's website is the Beam Team. Is it the Beam Team? I said it so many times, I can't remember now. I'm going to look it up, guys. Don't worry. I'm going to get it right. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. Beam Team. I think there's no zip. Oh, yeah. Now you can beam me up. BEAMTEAM.com. You can see that beautiful light shining at you. Say, do you want to do English or you want to do, I shouldn't even go here. Thanks. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know everything, okay? That's my cop-out. But anyway, I'm getting ready to release the show. I thank you. I thank those of you listening on the archive. I love you. I bless you and I appreciate you. And I truly thank God for you. Bring the questions, bring the thoughts, bring the doubts, bring whatever. And in your life, question the truth. You know, they say the truth will set you free. And they also say it will piss you off first. But what is the truth? Find the truth for yourself, and whatever you believe, if it's working for you, keep doing it. Keep doing it. But just understand that what you know, what's working for you, is just part of the big picture. It's just your point of view. And when we all come together and we can recognize that, you know, we all add to this table, this big table of life, this universe, this planet, this plate of joy or of creativity. We can all release, we can relax and just be still. And we can be love because of the truth of who we are. And then when we're being in love with ourselves, it's easy to be true to oneself. We don't have to debate, we don't have to argue, we can question, we can share. And when you're true to yourself, you can just allow yourself to be loved. You receive it. There's no judgment about being loved, receiving love. You can just let life happen through and as you. And wherever you are, just know that we all fall down. But there's always something to bring you up. I'll see you tomorrow. Tomorrow, Ancestral Blueprints. We're going to go back deep into who was I before I was I. And yes, you're not a slave. You know, the Africans were enslaved. They were nuts. None of us are slaves. But it's a good way to start wherever you are. Who was I before that? What is my story? And you just keep going down the rabbit hole. And then, oh, Lord, embrace yourself. Oh, I'm so grateful. I thank you all, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. Go back and listen to the show. The show's the archive. This is State of Man. We all fall down, and we need something to bring us back again, to bring us up again. So we can live again. Forgiveness. Love yourself. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings.
My own mistake. I lost faith in tomorrow. I even lost my way. Then I learned forgiveness starts with me. I put my burden down and set my spirit free.
My spirit free.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.